I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It is gone. Out of here.
No one covers Bay Area baseball better. This is Inside the Bigs with Michael Urban on 95.7 The Game. Now, here's Michael Urban.
Welcome back to Inside the Bigs. We are now back on Saturdays. Every Saturday, the rest of the regular season, 9 to noon, you find me here talking ball for 3 hours. It is Giants, the big leagues at large. We'll be speaking with Brody Brazil very shortly. I will go to him. Hang on just a second, Brody. And Steven and I were just talking good football, bad football. I could do an entire show about that. That's typically the segment that I over-prepare for. I usually use about 10% of what I've done. So throughout the program, I'll be kind of playing catch-up with myself and give you some good for ball, bad for balls that I kind of sussed out from the All-Star game. And I'm going to ask Brody Brazil about some of that as well. One of the things that had to be mentioned, Brandon Belt, love that he got into it because I've been a huge Brandon Belt supporter since day one. In fact, when I was starving for things to write about when I was covering the Giants at the winter meetings back in 2009 or 10, I think it was 10, and he hadn't yet become a fixture at the big league level, Brian Sabian just randomly said, you know, one of the best base runners in our whole organization is Brandon Belt, and he just kept talking about Brandon Belt. So I thought, you know what, I need to get my hooks in Brandon Belt before he becomes a big leaguer. Then I can be his guy in the media. And it worked out. I got his number. He ended up being on my show a number of times. And so I had this connection with Brandon Belt. Now that he was an All-Star, he had a nice All-Star appearance. He had a nice couple of days. Good for ball is, first off, he riffed on a number of subjects. And one of them was Madison Bumgarner playing catch with Clayton Kershaw at the All-Star game. Now, look, I'm not going to say these people need to hate each other. But I do like and think it's good for ball that Brandon Belt said, I don't like it. I don't like it one bit. It's a bad look. He's a Dodger. Madison is a Giant. We do not commingle. I like that he had the sack to say it. More, even better for ball, is that Belt realized the Giants workers in the front office, the grunts, so to speak, not the GMs and assistant GMs and the guys with fancy titles. I mean, the soldiers. They helped with the marketing campaign that helped Brandon Belt win the final vote. Brandon Belt decided, I'm going to thank these people. Big leaguers don't do this very often. So what did he do? He ordered 34 pizzas and had them sent to the Giants front offices just as a thank you. I thought that was very, very good for ball. Also good for ball is my next guest. I have become more than casual acquaintance with him. I like him. I respect him. I remember when he was kind of doing grunt work himself at the Oakland Coliseum. And now he's a rock star. You see him do sharks all the time on CSN Bay Area. He also does A's pre and post, and he's good at all of it. He's just flat good on the radio, so I wanted to bring him back. Brody Brazil joins us. What's up, Brody? How are you?
Herbs, I'd like to say thank you for having me on, and I'd like to think that I'm okay for ball. I'm not good for ball or bad for ball. I'm just okay.
No, we don't. There's no such thing. It's either good for ball or bad for ball, and there can be. Now, if you're good for ball and you're really good for ball, I will allow great for ball. I will allow horrible for ball. I will not allow fence sitters. There is no okay for ball. Ergo, you are good for ball. Continue.
Yeah, I appreciate that. No, let me throw a good for ball out at you. You were talking about the All-Star game.
Yep.
I think that the neon cleats and the neon batting glove, just for one game. I know they can't do it in a regular season game, but every year that they bust those out, I think that's the coolest, kind of way to show off new products. And it's kind of a way to have fun and be flashy for one night. So for one night only, that's good for ball.
You know what? I'm with you. The voice you hear is that of Brody Brazil from CSN Bay Area. And I know there's a lot of old schoolers that can't stand that. They would fight us to the death and say that that's bad for ball. And baseball's not about showy and flashy. No, I disagree. And I'm with you. It's just a one-time thing. It's like with the NBA All-Star game. You see guys bust out the new shoes that they aren't allowed to wear in the regular season because it doesn't fit the uniform color scheme or whatever. If they get to see, look, it is all about selling a product, and it's not very well hidden that that's all it's about. But if it's just for one game, why not? I just don't mind that at all. Brody, one of the reasons I want to have you on is because, as I mentioned, you do great work in the A's pre- and post-game. Going forward now, it's going to be, will it be, a different feel for you? Because it feels to me, Brody, like what they did last night in saying that Danny Valencia and Coco Crisp in particular are going to be playing less as guys, the name's escaping me right now, Ryan Healy. He's got called up to make his big league debut. We're going to see more Jake Smolinski in center field. Billy Burns got sent down. Is that going to change the way you approach your job? Because for me, it looks like they're waving the white flag.
Well, I mean, as soon as I saw the one transaction yesterday, Herbs, the Healy promoted and Billy Burns demoted, it really set off a chain of thoughts for me. For example, first off, let's discuss Billy Burns. What does it mean for him? Is he in the organization's plans in the long term? Is it right now just too many bodies? And, you know, you're thinking next year, if Coco's not around, can Billy Burns reemerge? So there was that thought. Then you're absolutely right. The next thought is, all right, what happens to Danny Valencia, a guy that was pretty much your everyday third baseman, your everyday cleanup hitter, and now Bob Melvin's going to tell him, hey, you know what, maybe we'll DH you, maybe we'll find you some time at first, but Healy's going to be our guy at the hot corner. Like, that's a big displacement right there in your lineup to figure out, you know, how that's going to work out. I agree with what you say about Coco, too. Maybe different amount of playing time for him, and we all obviously know that he's in a contract year where he's got the vesting option. I believe he needs 130 games played or 550 plate appearances for next year to kick in. So, you know, for him personally, too, it's a big question mark. How much more time is he going to see? Not just how much does he want to play. But, yeah, absolutely. You know, as soon as I saw that transaction take place, I realized, hey, all right, we're really setting a different tone here in the second half of the season. And obviously a lot of years that don't work out your way, and you can start to see it coming. You can also start to understand that the organization is going to make different call-ups and they're going to do different things to experiment with what they have. And so they know what they have moving forward in the future. And it's kind of interesting because Healy's the first just position player to be called up from Nashville this year. So far, it's been all pitchers, I think six or seven total. So I wouldn't be surprised if we start to see more experimentation like this for the A's, obviously, as they, you know, it starts to become clear. Clear it is they're out of a playoff situation or any contention situation, the more clear it's going to be to see that a lot of guys are going to get these opportunities.
The voice you hear is that of Brody Brazil. He often hosts the A's pre- and post-game show on CSN California. You can follow him on Twitter. Tell me if this is still current. Brody Brazil CSN, that's your Twitter account?
Yeah, I still once in a while put out a tweet, you know, occasionally, like every 20 minutes.
Are you that frequent of a tweeter? Are you really?
Oh, you know what? No. You know what? I think I used to be, though. I think maybe I'm just slowing down as I mature, you know? Maybe it's
as you mature, older. I'm still waiting for evidence that you've matured, Brody. You
know, I've got some grays. You know, I do have some grays. If you watch in HD this afternoon, you will see some grays.
Okay, I'm going to be on the lookout. You know, another reason I wanted to bring you back, and I know that we can't do it, but one of these Saturdays I'm going to get you in studio because I've noticed that your airtime here at the game has shrunk. I don't know why. I don't, you know, it's above my pay grade. But I need to hear more Brody Brazil on the radio, and in particular, I need to hear more of Brody's playlist. You used to have a little segment when you would be one of the guests on the, you know, you'd fill in, and it was what's on Brody's iPod. Was that the name of the segment?
That's right.
Okay,
yeah,
so we can't play the tunes right now, but what is on Brody's iPod right now?
Well, there's always a lot of Taylor Swift. There's always.
Are you saying that just so I can mock you, or you really have Taylor Swift?
No. New Romantics. You might want to download that one.
Okay.
It's a.
Or I might not.
Flapper. Yeah. Or maybe your kids might. A lot of EDM. I know it's crazy, but I don't know what the demographic of your particular show might be. I haven't seen the stats, but
oh, my people love EDM, and you know what? The reason that I love that you were doing the iPod thing to begin with is because I remember when I first started at CSN, and this is in 2010. This was before EDM just exploded, and you were into it before it became popular. So I've got to give you that credit, and it has nothing to do with A's baseball.
Yeah, a little bit more
here on Inside the Bigs.
A little more mainstream, so a little bit of that. And then, quite honestly, I'm a connoisseur of everything, so you'll hear beyond that, you'll hear everything from E40 to a little Florida Georgia line. Like, I'll go from, you know, Vallejo's finest to some country music all in the same drive to work. So I'm pretty much all over the place.
You're such an eclectic. That's the new thing. Yeah. Everybody, if you ask somebody, it's the new cool thing to say. If you ask someone what kind of music you like, oh, I like a little bit of everything. I'm a Renaissance guy.
I wish I could narrow it down, but I mean, I have my favorite artists. But they're across different genres, right? So it's like, what am I to do?
All right, enough non-baseball stuff. You did mention artists, though. A former artist, I don't know what's going on with him, but I used to liken what Sonny Gray did on the mound to art. I often liken great pitchers to artists. I do think there is an art to pitching. And Sonny Gray was just that for me. I'm very public with my man crush about Sonny Gray. Now, the second chance represents a chance to hit the restart button. Do you anticipate Sonny Gray turning things around, or do you think this is just, it's going to be one of the outliers in his career, and it's just a tough year? What's going on with that guy?
I think this season, Herbs, we have seen all 54 shades of Gray.
Yeah, thank you. Very nicely done.
Like that, yeah. No, you know what? Look, I think you go back to opening night when he had to miss the game, and Rich Hill started in place for him. He had the stomach ailment and then the injury, the trap muscle. That he was on the 15-day DL for. I mean, it's just been an uphill battle. How about the black eye that he pitched with?
Yeah, right.
You know, a couple starts ago. I mean, it's just been one of those seasons for Sonny Gray. What shocks me most, Herbs, he hasn't recorded a win since April 22nd.
That's unbelievable. And I saw that stat.
It's nuts. And, I mean, we're going to talk about it, I know, plenty today on TV, but in some games, he has pitched well enough to get the win. He just didn't get the run support. And you say, okay. You know, his last outing, probably an example of that. But in other outings, you know, he's got shelled in the second or third inning, maybe second time through the lineup already that he's facing him, and he's just getting rocked. And I just can't figure out, for him what necessarily it is. I do know what I think we're looking for here is obviously he needs to get a win under his belt. Today would be a great opportunity to do that against R.A. Dickey. But I think he needs to have one of those convincing type performances. And this is hard, easier said than done, much easier said. But honestly, I think he needs to throw a complete game. He needs to have just an outing where he wins the team. He puts the team on his back and says, I'm back, makes that statement. Like I said before, I mean, I think we know what he's capable of. He has set the bar. You're right. He is an artist. You know, the way he just, you know, executes, manufactures, is Sonny Gray. We just haven't seen that sustained in a long time.
Yeah, so, and I'm with you, Brody. I think he needs to have that outing where he just says, yes, I am still a badass.
Right.
I had a rough first half, but I'm back, and you can believe in me again.
Right.
He definitely needs to have that. Hey, I got to bounce, Brody, but I'm going to put you, hopefully you agree to this, I want to make you part of the rotation in Inside the Bigs because I do enjoy talking to you. I can go all over the map with you, and I know that you're going to be on television today. I know you're going to do a great job. I just enjoy your work, period, and I enjoy speaking with you. So hopefully we can hook up again real soon.
Hey, man, the feelings are mutual. I always listen to your show on the drive into San Francisco to the studio, and a pleasure to be on, and we'll do it again. My pleasure.
Brody Brazil, good for ball. We will talk to you soon, Brody. I'm Michael Urban. This is Inside the Bigs, and when we come back, the phone lines are wide open. Tarian Hayward is going to be the leadoff guy. We're going to be talking a little. I got a great, great text about the former. You know how we talked about all the former A's that are in the All-Star game? Pretty much any baseball game that you watch, you can find former A's. And I got a guy who plays an interesting game with his wife while watching baseball. It's a little bit racy. How's that for a tease? I'm Michael Urban. This is Inside the Bigs on 95.7 The Game.
It's Inside the Bigs with Bay Area baseball insider Michael Urban on 95.7 The Game.
So good. That's the baseline from I'm a Swing It by House of Pain. It's in regular rotation in my car. I do car gig to it. I do produce dinner time conversations for my fellow commuters, to which somebody on the PenskeAutoSales.com text line at 95795 says, you're not important enough to be part of someone's dinner conversation. That's just hurtful. Why would you just take time out of your day to hurt me like that? That's all right. I'm a big boy. I've got pretty thick skin. Trust me. I get ripped on the text line all the time. And usually, rather than the complimentary text that we get, we do have some hosts here at 95.7 The Game that read only the complimentary texts. Like, great show, great point. I missed you. You don't want to hear that. You want to hear somebody really drop me to my knees with a great zinger. It doesn't happen often, but even if it's a bad zinger, often I will read it on the air, and I will use that as an opportunity to fight back. Is it petty? Yes. Welcome to me. But I mentioned, and we are going to get to Terry and Hayward real quick, but I mentioned that a husband and wife have a little game that they play. And I oversold it a little bit. That's what we do in radio with a tease. I want to make sure that you come back. It's not all that racy at all. But in the 408, he says, when my wife and I watch any baseball game, we play Name the Former A's. And without fail, you can find a former Athletic in any game you watch. Pretty much any game. Now, sure, there are some instances where you're not going to find it. But there is some validity to the notion that the A's are a AAA club for the rest of the big leagues. It kind of stinks, but you know what? They do produce a lot of pretty good big leaguers. You can look at it that way from a positive perspective. They do have excellent scouting and development teams in the organization. They're very, very good at that. So at least they're sending people on that are starring. They've identified the talent. They've developed the talent. Now we just need to get them to the point where they can keep it, and that will truly be good for ball. So let's go now, without further ado, to a very patient man. I'm appreciative of his listenership and now of his callership, if that's a word. Terry and Hayward joins us. You're inside the Bigs. What's up, Terry? How are you?
Not that racy, huh? Well, then I might as well hang up.
Spice it up for me, Terry.
Are either one of them listening? Because I got a hidden gem that would win them the game. All the hosts at the game leading up to the All-Star game, all I heard was moaning and groaning about all these XAs running around on the field. There was one XA. He never got invited to spring training, never got called up, but he had himself a pretty damn good game, and that was Eric Holzmer. He was a double-A third baseman buried on the A's because Eric Chavez had just signed his big contract, and the A's sent him to the Royals as part of the Jermaine Dye deal.
Terry, that is excellent minor league knowledge. I had even forgot about that, and I covered the A's when they made the Jermaine Dye deal. I totally forgot that Hosmer was in the A's organization. Good for you, Terry. Thank you very much. And, of course, every single host from 95.7 The Game is listening to my program right now. They set their alarm clocks early. Terry, thank you for the phone call. Let's go to Mark in San Francisco. We're going to talk a little Giants baseball. We haven't done a lot of that. We do plan to do more of it. In particular, we'll be doing some of it with Bobby Evans at about 10:45. The Giants general manager will join us. But as we wait for Bobby to join us, we will make do with Mark in San Francisco. What's up, Mark? You're on Inside the Bigs.
Well, first of all, if you listen to Tom Waits, you'll hear some great bass lines there.
Wait, listen to who? Tom Waits, did you say?
Tom Waits, yeah.
Okay, yeah. I'm a huge fan of the bass. You know what? Actually, I was talking with Rod Brooks, a friend of mine that I was on CSN Sports Talk Live this week with. He asked me if I played an instrument. My church youth group gave me a Fender Jazz, and I wanted to teach myself how to play bass, but I'm left-handed, and the bass was right-handed, so I taught myself how to play it upside down, which means if you put a bass in my hands right now, I would have no idea how to play it. I know that's a diversion. Continue, Mark. You want to talk Giants baseball?
Well, if that was a guitar, they'd call it Southern Cotton-picking style if it was a six-string.
All right, there we go.
Play it upside down like that.
Learn something new every day. What you got?
Okay, number one, Kennard Span. I like the guy. He's a great guy. He plays pretty well in center field, but he doesn't have an arm, and he's hitting below 250. For me, for the Giants lineup, the way they play, that's not good enough. They're taxing their three top pitchers way too much. The bullpen, as far as I'm concerned, is in disarray. And anyone who wants to tell me that they got the best record in baseball didn't pay attention to what happened to the Warriors in the postseason. So I think they got a lot of work to do. I think Bochy's going to need some help figuring out that bullpen because he hasn't done it yet.
Well, the bright side of that is that if there's one thing that Bruce Bochy is known for, everybody considers him one of the best managers in baseball, if not the best. If you had to single out one thing that he's exceptional at, it's handling the bullpen, which means he probably knows how to fix a broken bullpen, which means he and Bobby Evans and Brian Sabian and, you know, Dave Rigetti, Mark Gardner, they're talking about exactly what they need, which is why at the top of the program, I don't know if you're listening, Mark, I think they are going to go out and get bullpen help. I don't think it's going to be big names like Aroldis Chapman and Andrew Miller. I think it's going to be under-the-radar names like back in 2010 when they got Ramon Ramirez and Javier Lopez, and I think there was one other guy, but they ended up being a big part of the championship run. I could see something similar happening in the lead-up to this year's trade deadline.
Well, they definitely have to have some major leaguers back there because I think too many of them are triple-A or quadruple-A pitchers. They're not quite ready for the big leagues. Strickland, I'm disappointed in him. He seems like he's a home run waiting to happen, you know, a two-run home run waiting to happen. And the same with Osich. And as well as these guys can throw at times, they're so wildly inconsistent. The whole bullpen has been wildly inconsistent. That is pretty scary. They can win as many games as they have and still lose in the playoffs early because of that bullpen.
Yeah, I think they're going to make some changes. Thanks for the phone call, Mark. That's Mark in San Francisco. Again, if you want to join the program, the fans come first here. It's 888-957-9570. If you want to text us, 95795 on the PenskeAutoSales.com text line. You can follow me and hit me up on Twitter at Big Herb Sports. Speaking of the PenskeAutoSales.com text line, got a couple other pretty good ones. Let's see. Hashtag bad for ball. AL rules in an NL park. That's from Harry in Fremont. I agree with you. Unfortunately, they didn't have to do it, but they did it. I was wondering why they did it. I guess it's because the All-Star game is in National League ballparks four consecutive years, and they just didn't think it was fair for the AL to be the visitor for four consecutive years. So they did it, and it does look very odd, and that it has to be explained. That's bad for ball, but hey, if anything that promotes fairness, everyone gets the same as everyone else. It's fair. Just show up and you get a trophy on your soccer team. Yay. Bad for ball. One out of two. I have a two-part text here, and this would be from, I don't know, somebody in the 925. The obvious A's question is why do they have to be a low-budget team given that Fisher is a billionaire? Billionaire, all caps, and 13 question marks. It's the elephant in the room, and no one asked the A's owners why. No one. Well, it's hard to ask Fisher why when Fisher is ghost. You can't find that guy anywhere. Lou Wolf is the face of the ownership group, the face of, well, Billy Beane's the face of the front office. But when it comes to those types of things, the ballpark, spending in general, that's Lou Wolf's province. It's not Fisher. It's not the Fisher family. It's not the Gap. It's Lou Wolf. So nobody gets a chance to ask that. It's not a bad question. I always kind of chuckle when I hear that they are a you have to use the word low budget. You can't use small market when you talk about the Oakland A's. This is not a small market. It's the Bay Area. The San Francisco Bay Area includes Oakland, and it's, what is it, market 4 or market 5? It's a big market, and it can support two major league teams. We've seen that. There's been times in the past when they're both playoff teams. But, yeah, that's why we don't get it. One last one. From the 415, this would be from Jason in San Francisco. Thanks for having Brody on the show. It was good to hear him on the radio. Again, it's exactly why I wanted to do that. Again, Brody's very good on the radio. He's done a lot of it here at the game. I hope he gets a little bit of more run in the future. When we come back every week, there's some people that are just flat killing it, and we like to single them out and give them their just due. There's also people that master in jackassery. I often do that myself on the very show, but I never end up on the list of kooks unless it's really, really bad transgression. What I do is I make fun of big leaguers who end up on the list of kooks, and always at the All-Star break, there's multiple opportunities for people to master said jackassery. Killers and Kooks is coming up next. I'm Michael Urban. This is Inside the Bigs on 95.7 The Game.
It's Inside the Bigs with Bay Area baseball insider Michael Urban on 95.7 The Game.
All right. Welcome back to Inside the Bigs. We are back on Saturdays. Wow, that was abrupt, Steven. Give me whiplash right there. Steven is our executive button pusher for today, hopefully for many days in the future, because there is now some regularity to Inside the Bigs. We used to do it on Sundays because the Warriors were the biggest story in the Bay Area. Sorry, Zachariah, I'm explaining the show again. I think it merits explanation because there's a major move today. We used to be on Sundays because the Warriors controlled the Bay Area for so long, and there was a great show on Saturday mornings. It was bigger than baseball at the time. Now they're done. Baseball is the big story. The Giants, the A's, no matter what they're doing, they move the needle in the Bay Area, especially midsummer. So we now are back on Saturdays. That means there is a show every single weekend. When it was on Sundays and the A's were in another time zone, their 1 o'clock start meant no Inside the Bigs. Bad for ball. Now we're on every Saturday. Good for ball. Also good for ball, the Pleasanton Phantom 14Us. My daughter Jackie plays third base for them. Her good friend, my good friend, actually. Yes, I am good friends with a 13, 14-year-old girl because they're basically family for me. Amanda Hoffman, also Gianna Sansoni is a member of the team. I often give shout-outs to young softball players because I'm a big fan of youth sports. I try to keep my mouth shut when I'm at the games. Don't always succeed, to the horror of my daughter, Jackie. Amanda's mother is quite vocal at the ball games, but it's all in support and it's all good. And they're now driving to the game right now, so I wanted to give them a little bit of a pump up as they get prepared to play in Pleasant Hill. So that's my self-indulgent moment of the show. Jackie, get your hands back. Weight back, hands back. I know it's uncomfortable, but is it uncomfortable standing on second base after the double? Or would you rather be comfortable walking back to the dugout? Left, right, left, right, left, right. Bat, helmet, sit down. Nothing comfortable about that, sweetheart. Get your hands back. All right, let's move on. It is time now for Killers and Kooks. It's pretty self-explanatory. There are people that are just flat-out killing it every week in Major League Baseball, and we want to give them their due. There are also peoples that master the, can I call it an art? Sure, the art of jackassery. We call those people kooks. Kooks is a surfing term. If you show up to a local surf spot and you're not a local, you don't know the rules, you don't know the pecking order, you drop in on people, you cut people off, they call you a kook, I call you a kook, in a baseball sense, right now. Okay, so first off, we do have a kook emeritus. We have two kook emeriti, if that's the word. That means they are always on the kook list. Former Oakland mayor, Mayor Kwan, she is an emeritus kook. Also, Bud Selig. Bud Selig is always going to be on my kook list. Rob Manfred is starting to make a bid for being on my kook list on a regular basis, and I didn't see this coming. I loved the fact that Bud Selig finally stepped down and that Rob Manfred doesn't own a team. Look, you can tell me all you want that Bud Selig divested himself of his interest in the Milwaukee Brewers. I don't buy it. He held that job forever because he basically was a puppet for the owners, and he made a bunch of money for the owners, and so he kept his job. Now he's not there. Rob Manfred is, but Rob Manfred, he just continues to make moves and say things that I'm thinking he's a little bit too much like Bud Selig, but I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. My first official kook, and it's kooks, it's the fans at Petco Park in San Diego for the All-Star Game. Why? Because they booed everybody on the Giants that got announced. Look, first of all, it's not like the Padres-Giants quote-unquote rivalry rivals that of the Giants and Dodgers. That's a real rivalry. The only reason Padres fans are booing the Giants is because the Giants kick their butt every time they play them. You don't boo them. You acknowledge their greatness and try to get better yourselves. You can't get mad at people because they're spanking you on a regular basis. Get better. That's not a good reason to boo someone because they're better than you. Now, if they disrespect you, if they come in and, you know, look, Giants fans own Petco Park when the Giants play down there. It becomes AT&T South. They take the place over. I remember covering late season regular season games when the division was still kind of up for grabs. And remember, the Padres were right there in the thick of things for the NL West. I was blown away by how much Giants fans took that park over. Padres fans, you can't get mad at that and boo the Giants for it. You got to get better. You got to get more people out at your ballpark. So not only are you bad for ball, you're kooks. This week, anyway. Did you hear the people? There was a barbershop quartet or something. Look, Canada has a terrific national anthem. Good for ball. I love the Canadian national anthem. And to a certain extent, to a certain degree, I'm okay with people being on a national stage, i.e. an Oscars acceptance speech, something like that. The ESPYs. You're on a big platform. You want to make a statement. The time to make a statement is not when you're singing a country's national anthem. Some clown in this barbershop quartet decided to change the words to the Canadian national anthem before the All-Star game. Again, sometimes it's appropriate to make your statement on a big stage because it's the only time you're going to have that stage. But when it comes to a national anthem, you do not have wiggle room. It's the national anthem. Respect the nation. Don't change it. If you are, you end up on my kooks list. Killers list. This is not baseball at all, but Nate Thurman, one of the ultimate killers. Huge, huge, huge part of the Warriors' legacy here in the Bay Area. Unfortunately, we just lost Nate Thurman. Comes as quite a bit of a surprise to me. I know that every time I saw him working on TV in the postseason, I enjoyed his insight. I enjoyed just seeing him because he's Nate Thurman, because he was awesome. And I'm a lifelong Warriors fan. Now Nate Thurman has moved on to a better place. It's bad for ball in the short term, good for ball, obviously, in the long term, because heaven has another angel. But I just wanted to acknowledge that. Nate Thurman, definitely on my list of killers for the week. Also, Johnny Cueto, yeah, he took the loss. Yeah, he gave up a couple homers to former teammates Eric Hosmer and Salvador Perez. Both took him deep in the All-Star game, so he took the loss, and it reminded everybody of Atlee Hammaker. By the way, everybody talking about Atlee Hammaker this week because Johnny Cueto gave up a couple homers, you're on my kooks list too. They're not related. I get that the Giants do not have a glorious recent history of pitching in the All-Star game, but they're not connected. It's just random occurrences. They're called coincidences. Johnny Cueto is on my killers list because, as was headlined in a fantastic column by Ann Killian of the San Francisco Chronicle, Johnny Cueto is just fun. He reminds me of Miguel Tejada. He reminds me of Pablo Sandoval. He's a guy that wears his joy for the game on his sleeve. I love, like I mentioned, my daughter playing softball, right? When I look out there and I see her smiling, I saw her get struck out. And I hate to bring this up because she's going to get bummed, but she knows why I'm bringing it up. Somebody just threw a nasty changeup, and it just dominated her. She struck out. She was able to recognize the greatness in the pitch, and she smiled, which meant she enjoyed the fact that this person had done something great. You see Pablo Sandoval, you see Miguel Tejada, you see Johnny Cueto smile when somebody beats them because the game is supposed to be fun. There's nothing about Johnny Cueto that's not fun. He makes stuff up. It's like when you're 10, 12, 14 years old and you're playing strikeout against the garage door, or you're playing tennis baseball out in the street, you make stuff up as you're going, right? Johnny Cueto does that at the big league level, which not only speaks to his ridiculous athleticism to be making stuff up and getting away with it at the big league level, but just his passion for the game. He thinks, let me try this. This might be fun, and more often than not, it is. Sometimes he quick pitches. Sometimes he does a ridiculously long delay in the middle of his windup. But it works, and it's fun, and it makes him fun to watch, and so I put him on my killers list. I also put the caller who reminded everybody, and maybe this is good for ball, maybe it's bad for ball, but Eric Hosmer used to be in the A's organization, and he's absolutely on the killers list this week because he was the MVP of the Big League All-Star Game. And finally, one last killer, and I'm going to tell the quick story because we got to bounce. Barry Bonds is on my list of killers. And while I do think the all-time home run record and the single-season home run record are tainted because of Barry Bonds, that doesn't change the fact that he's one of the best players in the history of the game. He's also part of the reason the Marlins are starting to make people atop them in the National League East a little bit nervous. They are surging. Barry Bonds is their hitting coach. Remember that? I think a lot of people have forgotten. Some people might be surprised that he's still around. I thought it was just going to be he would do it for a while, realize he's not getting a ton of attention, and then just get bored with it and leave because he's got more money than God and he can just do whatever he wants. Well, he's sticking with it. People are getting better because of him, so he's on my list of killers. But also, he's on my list of killers because I am the only guy, I think, in Bay Area media that really, really, really likes Barry Bonds as a person. And here's why. When I was a Cub reporter, I was a stringer for the San Mateo Times. As part of my initiation, they played a prank on me, and they told me, hey, Michael, go to Candlestick Park. This was the year that Barry Bonds had just signed with the Giants. We've got you a half an hour sit down with Barry Bonds, and we want you to write 2,000 words, a feature on Barry Bonds. Here's your big chance, kid. Half an hour solo with Barry Bonds. Get there tomorrow at 2:30. I get there. I'm all fired up. I've got my notes. I go right up to Barry Bonds' locker. Hey, Barry, I'm Michael Urban from the San Mateo Times. He cuts me off. Michael who? San Mateo what? Oh, the San Mateo Times. He knew the Times because he went to Sarah High, grew up in San Carlos. That's the paper that covered those young athletes. He didn't know who I was from Adam. He says, do you really think you have a half an hour of my time? And I immediately realized I had fallen for it, and I'm a jackass. So I start to walk away with my tail between my legs. As I'm doing that, he realizes what happened himself. He realizes my bosses were playing a joke on me. So he says, hey, San Mateo Times. He had forgotten my name already. Hey, San Mateo Times, I turn around, yeah. He goes, your bosses are effing with you right now. Let's F back. Come on. So he has me sit down with him, gives me a half an hour solo, and I write a 2,000-word feature, wrote the heck out of that feature, by the way, if I do say so myself, filed it. It never ran. To this day, it never ran because they're like, what is this? I said, you told me I got a half hour with Barry Bonds. I got a half hour with Barry Bonds. They didn't believe it. They never ran the story. But Barry Bonds never forgot that. I will never forget it. Even 15 years later, when I'm a legit sports writer covering the Giants and Barry Bonds, because I'm circus freak size, 6'7", 275, I'm at the back of the pack out of respect for the smaller people in the crowd. Barry would invariably look up and go, hey, San Mateo Times. Still doesn't know my name, but he did me a solid, and so I'm the one media guy who loves Barry Bonds. That's the end of my story. He's on my killers list. I'm Michael Urban. When we come back, we're going to be talking to the general manager of your San Francisco Giants. More important, why do I want to talk to him? He's also the coach of the San Francisco American Little League team that's making a serious bid to reach, what is it? Little League World Series? Where is that again? He'll tell us. Little League World Series Giants general manager. I love those two things being in the same sentence. Bobby Evans up next with us. I'm Michael Urban. This is Inside the Bigs on 95.7 The Game. Williamsburg. Port.
It's Inside the Bigs with Bay Area baseball insider Michael Urban on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back. This is the part of the program where I force Will Smith upon you because it is one of the best verses in rap history, and it's clean. I need you to memorize this by season's end. Enjoy. So good. Welcome back to Inside the Bigs. I'm Michael Urban. We're back on Saturdays, every Saturday, for the rest of the regular season. 9 to noon, 3 hours of ball talk. My next guest, his time is very precious. He is in demand. He is in charge of two very successful and very important baseball teams. He is Giants general manager Bobby Evans. Good morning, Bobby. How are you?
Hey, very good, Michael. Good morning.
One of the reasons I wanted to have you on is to talk Giants baseball. You are statistically the best team in baseball. But actually, a bigger reason why I wanted to have you on, and I do appreciate your time, is because you are a coach of the San Francisco American Little League 11U All-Stars, and you guys just won the District 3 championship. I know that your son plays on the team. Man, that must be fun. First off, it's remarkable that a general manager of a Major League Baseball team finds time to coach a Little League team, but that Little League team represents the same city and is winning titles. Man, that must be a blast for you and your boy.
Yeah, you know, the kids grow up so fast, and everybody's told me that from day one. It'll go fast, and I just don't want to miss it. So I've enjoyed every moment, and you know, just very proud of these kids. They've done a great job. We're in a 11U division, so I think you know, we're in sectionals now, and then I think it advances to some type of Northern California title. But that's it. After that, we're not 12U, so we don't get to advance past Northern California. But we got to just get past sectionals right now. We got all the district, some of the district champions that we're facing this weekend. And it's a double elimination, so it's fun. I mean, these guys have played hard and certainly deserve it, but we're going to face some pretty good competition, I think, from here on.
And to win the District 3 championship, I think I heard this right, you guys were the number 8 seed, which is the last seed, and you ended up beating the number 2 seed in the finals. Is that correct?
Yeah. We were the number 9 seed going into the last day, just assuming we weren't going to advance. And so I was back watching our double-A team in Richmond, Virginia, when I got a phone call about 11:30 at night that the team that was the 8th seed had lost and had moved us into the 8th seed spot. We were going to be facing the number 1 the next afternoon. So I was a quick flight back to the West Coast.
Look at that. The Giants general manager hopping on a flight last minute just to get to a Little League game. I know that your son, Jonathan, plays on the game. I think, what is he, a second baseman and a relief pitcher? Is that right?
That's right. That's Jonathan, right?
What a cool thing to share with him. I mean, like you said, the kids grow up so fast. Mine are 11 and 13, and the clock's ticking in terms of the time they want to spend with me. I told you yesterday, I wish I was a sports writer because I'd love to write the story of Bobby Evans and his son in Little League Baseball. Is that in second place or first place in terms of your day job with the San Francisco Giants? How do you balance those two priorities?
Well, you know, you're balancing no matter what. I mean, whether whether it's Little League or something else, you're always trying to balance your family time. And so they're really two very important families between the Giants family and my home family. So they're both priorities. But you know, it is fun. And again, you know, San Francisco Little League has done such a great job, really putting together a great program in our city, and they continue to try to find ways to expand it and improve it. And a lot of it's really volunteer led organization, and they do a great job for all of us as parents to be able to participate. I mean, you know, the manager's job is much more time consuming in the sense that you've got to facilitate a lot of different facets of on and off the field elements. And so for the last couple of years, I've served as an assistant coach, and it's a little more easy to balance that kind of role than it would be as a manager, but still it is fun. It's a lot of practices and games, but you know, you're going to spend time with your family, your kids, and this is one way to do it with my son, Jonathan.
The voice you hear is that of Giants general manager Bobby Evans. He's also a coach for the 10 and 11-year-old Northern California District 3 champions from the San Francisco American Little League. Bobby, I'm looking at the team picture right now online. You've got one kid who's about a foot and a half taller than everybody else. I need to see his birth certificate, sir.
No, we've been asked for his birth certificate and a copy of his marriage license. But
and his driver's license.
And everything else, but he's a really great kid, Siraj, and a strong left-handed bat, can play first, can play the outfield, and we're going to miss him today. He's not here today,
so we're
missing a big part of our order.
I know you got a game at 12 o'clock, so do you have territorial rights on these kids? Is there some sort of Larry Bird rule in Major League Baseball?
No rule, unfortunately, but I'm looking forward to the years ahead when these guys start popping up in high school and maybe get evaluated at a higher level. There's some good kids here, some very good athletes. They play a lot of sports. None of them are just baseball. They're all athletes. They play multiple sports, and that's the way it should be. It's good for them.
I agree with you 100%. I love that you said that because I think a lot of parents these days have been brainwashed into thinking their kid has to specialize at an early age and you have to play on these elite travel teams to get seen. And my answer to that is always, look, if you've got crazy talent, you're going to get found, especially in this internet age. They will find you. The better athlete is the one who plays multiple sports. It's also better for them socially, I think. You get to learn to deal with different groups of people. You deal with more coaches, which means it's going to help you as you deal with multiple bosses as you get older. But that's my little soapbox. Let's focus on San Francisco Giants baseball. You do have the best record in baseball, even coming off of a loss. Finally, you lose to the San Diego Padres after 9 consecutive victories. What was your All-Star break like? I'm imagining it was not a break at all.
Yeah, I mean, it's just an opportunity. You've got to be respectful of other general managers that may be taking some time to, you know, with their family. But, you know, I still check in with those who I knew were still actively in conversation. Tuesday, I actually spent the day in San Diego at the All-Star game itself, but I was just down for the day, went down in the morning, came back that night. It was, you know, fun to be there and see, you know, some pretty excellent baseball in terms of especially the pitching and some guys that we'll be, you know, looking at in terms of opportunities if they're available. But it was a good day, but for the most part, the break was mostly just trying to round up and be prepared for when the break was over. Really taking Thursday as kind of the last day the first day of the post All-Star break, so I could start making more calls again on Thursday.
All right. Well, Bobby, I know that it's a busy time for you, so I'm going to let you bounce. You got a 12 o'clock game with the San Francisco American 11U All-Stars. Congratulations on the success that you've had. Good luck today. And next time you're on, I promise we'll talk more about big league baseball. But for me, this is just a little bit more fun today. Good luck to you, sir.
Thank you, Michael. Talk to you soon.
All right. That's Giants general manager Bobby Evans. Not only very good at his job, but just a good dude, period. I would love to have had a coach like him when I was in Little League. Just a good guy, good perspective on everything. When we come back, we have an open segment again, which means we go to the callers first and foremost. We do not have a program without you, the Bay Area baseball fan. We've had a lot of really good texts coming in that I haven't gotten a chance to look at. The number, by the way, on the PenskeAutoSales.com text line is 95795. If you want to call us, the phone lines are open right now, 888-957-9570, or you can hit me up on Twitter at Big Herb Sports. There are still a number of All-Star Game-related things we haven't talked about, and we really haven't gotten deep into the San Francisco Giants. Does their bullpen need help? How do you help that bullpen? We'll talk about it next. I'm Michael Urban. This is Inside the Bigs on 95.7 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.